Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Henshaw. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
the commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Welcome along to Who You Got this Friday. Just 3 weeks to go now, lads. It's Mick, Colm and Shane with you this week. We'll have a quick look at last week's results. This is going to be good. I'm going to enjoy this one. Oh, look who's top there with 7 points. Two exact scores. Three overall. Jer, I mentioned last week actually that Jer's decided it goes worryingly close to the bottom of the table and started going with sensible results instead of his usual wacky woods. He got four results right last week, including one exact score. So he's on six. Kathleen got six with two exact scores. Owen, John, Colm, Phil, middle of the road, Nathan, Shane and Will with 1 point. Shane, you're having it good for a while there.
Yeah, I was top for a week on goal difference. But yeah, disappointing last weekend.
Well, let's have a look at the table. We'll see who is top. Oh my God, look at that. 3 weeks to go and there's a 13 point lead at the top of the table. Yours truly.
How's that feel?
It feels pretty good, I have to say. I've been thinking about what charity I'm going to put the charity bet winnings towards. I have to reveal it all in a couple of weeks, but I can't. I not want to count my chickens or write my name on the cup.
Sounds like you are.
I think the inscribers have M, I and half of C written at this stage.
You have three more exact scores than the nearest challenger, I think, from that previous graphic there. That's the crucial thing to win it. Did that say 15? God bless my eyesight.
Yeah, 15, yeah. I actually disagree because I've been high up on the getting the results right all season, if not top of them. Definitely close before Will's collapse, right? Mm. And I always feel like, this, get the results and the scores will come. And I've had a real run of scores lately and that's kind of put me above everybody else.
I won that thing last year on exact scores, for sure. Mm. For sure, won it on exact scores.
So this is the defending champion and the champion elect.
The passing over the trophy, which is in the office somewhere.
Make sure you're jotting down your availability now for Friday three before the last day of the season.
Well, can you win it? You could win it before the last
day of
the
season. If I have over a 12 point lead, I could have it wrapped up.
That would be good. With a game to spare.
Does Colm have to clap you into the studio? Is it Premier League?
No, everybody does. It's not just the previous champions. Yeah.
Right.
That's true. Guard of honour. Anyway, look, we'll leave me out of this now and worry about what we're going to do for the rest of the show, which is predict four Premier League games, three Premier League games and one WSL game. What are you laughing at?
It's just like that we had no plan beyond the table.
Well, look, sometimes it is worth taking a lap of honour. You know, we don't usually do. Mm. We're quite of a humble nation, I would say. So every now and then you got to celebrate your wins.
Do you find that you're predicting results and exact scores slightly differently now that you're really about to win the league? Do you feel the pressure? Or are you acting like this is September and it's just
probably felt the pressure and then had two really good weeks that have sort of made it
more comfortable?
Yeah, I would say comfortable. Yeah, like last week. Look, obviously as a Villa fan, you don't want Chelsea, Newcastle, Forest or Man City to win any games at the moment. So I was watching with glee as Brighton were beating Newcastle 1-0 for the whole game, but did have 1-1 on Who You Got. So it totally lessened the pain.
I was going to say,
when Newcastle got their dodgy penalty.
Have you found that a slight consolation over the two seasons of doing this? That if the result goes against your team or your team,
massively.
But it helps you win the table.
Yeah. But there is also, it does take away some of the joy of the result going your way when you lose the Who You Got points.
Yeah.
Truly.
We're going to start, the biggest game this weekend is probably Newcastle-Chelsea, but it should have been Liverpool-Arsenal.
I know,
I think this is a game, in some ways, we looked before Christmas even at the table and jotted down the date as to see that this could be the title decider. And obviously it's not going to be. And neither team have anything to play for now, which kind of makes it interesting in some ways. It's like, what are we looking for out of this game?
Yeah, I mean, there's no danger here that Arsenal have an almighty collapse at the end of the season after what happened against Paris Saint-Germain. But that would be the only thing that would make this intriguing. It'll be very annoying for the other Champions League contenders about what happened with Liverpool last week against Chelsea.
Very annoying.
Yeah, but
let me tell you.
Because I don't think they're going to repeat that again. I don't think Arne Slot would allow those standards to continue slipping this week.
No.
Particularly at home to Arsenal. Now, Arsenal haven't lost against the big six in 2 years. They're quite good in the Premier League.
Who are you calling the Big Six now? What's the official Big Six?
It's still Spurs are still in it.
It's who you. It's who you think in your head the Big Six are. They're the Big Six. So Arsenal are quite slightly wounded. Now, if Mikel Arteta truly believes that PSG were the inferior side over the two legs, and he takes that confidence into Anfield and convinces his squad that it's the same,
then
they have a chance.
Mikel Arteta has taken, no offence to him, he's taken delusion to a whole new level with some of his post-match comments as well. I don't know what games he's watching some of the time as well. Like, even during the week, he said, Arsenal's the best team in Europe, and compared his club's Premier League points tally to Liverpool's before the season's even over.
Like, with Liverpool having three games to go.
Yeah.
Like, that was insane. I thought his post-match after PSG, like, you can understand. It's funny, he's got a little bit quieter recently, and Arsenal have become a much more likeable team.
Yeah.
You know, and you were kind of watching them. I was genuinely rooting for them during the week, and you realise I do actually like this team. I like a good few of their players. I like the story there, everything. And then Arteta talks after the game, and again, you're going back to this feeling in your bones of just, I just don't think I like the guy. I really don't.
Which is fine, he might
be a decent coach, but I just, you know, it's kind of, because it's a club I'm kind of generally fond of and always have been, Arsenal. It's taken me a while to realise that it's just him.
I only saw the light bulb clip from the Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
I saw that for the first time during the week. Thomas Edison stuff where he whips out the light bulb in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Still going around touching his I was like,
but even then, I think people were kind of laughing at that in a way that he's not really a challenger, a contender. Because back then, they were in their infancy under Arteta when that documentary was made. That was the Aubameyang and Lacazette days.
Yeah.
You know, it was a different vibe in the squad. So you have to give him his flowers and what he's done with Arsenal
100%.
To get to this level.
That's, I think he's a good coach. I really do. Like, you know.
No, I understand. It's very hard to defend him. I'm just kind of even trying to defend him for devil's advocate purposes.
Yeah.
That what was he saying against PSG was like, well, maybe he really did think that they had those opportunities, those 11 throw-ins in the first quarter of the game, that they had converted one of the three gilt-edge opportunities that they created themselves. Then, in his head, he thought, well, that's enough to win this tie. But the reality is, despite Arsenal's dominance at the start of that game, the closest anyone came to scoring a goal was PSG's first opportunity. Kvaratskhelia hits the inside of the post.
They
stay in the game. They don't play great football.
But also, Donnarumma makes a save that they're kind of talking about, like, as in a miracle save, as if Donnarumma doesn't play for PSG and isn't someone that isn't part of their football team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a strange thing sometimes we think about goalkeepers. Like, with goalkeepers, like, well, the keeper made a miracle save, so, like, we could have won the game. Well, it's like, the other team has that player.
Yeah. The issue I have was, not even so much the delusional stuff, because I kind of laughed at it, but did you see the interview he did after the game? And he was like, well, Donnarumma was player of the match over the two legs. And then the interviewer from, I think, CBS said, Hakimi got player of the match. And he was like, yeah, but you know what I mean?
Forget the facts.
Well, look, it is a weird game, as we've kind of like, which is probably why we've almost moved off it straight away.
True.
But it is the game that our charity bet has come from. We'll go through our predictions in a few minutes, but I want to bring in Dave Kellner from William Hill first. Dave, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, good. Enjoying that chat about Arsenal and Arteta and the 10-year project now itself. It's next season, Arsenal, isn't it? And after their Champions League exit, three defeats in a row now. And as you mentioned, not really got anything to play for, I suppose. Do they want to finish second behind Liverpool?
Yeah.
Manchester City are making a little bit of a late charge, threatening that runner-up spot, but a scant consolation, I think, for Arsenal fans if they did finish second behind Liverpool this season.
Yeah. The 67 points, they wouldn't want to lose all three of their games. Mm. Let's just put it that way. No. I think fifth could end up in 69, but obviously we don't think that's going to happen. But we are looking at our charity bet from this game. Again, almost a hard one to call because it's not as big a game as we thought it was. We've won in our last 2 weeks, Dave, so we're on our first roll of the season. We've left it a little bit late. What chance we continue it with our pick this week of we've left the hot hand is Matthew in the office. He's Matthew Brennan. He's gone for two weeks in a row. We've given him the third week. He's gone for both teams to score in this game, and Mo Salah, who probably is the only player on the pitch with something to play for to score.
Yeah, he scored 28 goals this season, hasn't he, Salah? And the tendency for Mo Salah in his past seasons at Liverpool is that he gets to a certain point in the season and his form just cools off slightly in the latter stages. But he'll be eager with what's gone on with the contract talks this season to finish it strongly. The charity's not going to get rich with this charity bet, unfortunately. It's 17-10 for both teams to score in Mo Salah to get on the score sheet. Obviously, 28 goals this season, Mo Salah. It's It's likely to happen, though, isn't it? You look through Liverpool's form since they've clinched the title. There's been 10 goals in those two games. And you mentioned it earlier. Under Arne Slot, since they've won the title, they've just gone slightly off the boil. And I think there's been that letdown in the last few games, given they clinched the title so early in the season. I do think both teams will score in this game, though. And I think Mo Salah will score. So I think it's a really solid charity bet. The latest 90 minutes betting in the match is Liverpool 21-20 to win the game. The draw 12-5. Arsenal in the betting at 12-5. Both teams to score in the match is a pretty short price as well, as you would anticipate. It's 8-13 for both teams to score in the game. Throw Mo Salah into that to score in the match. 17-10 is the price on the charity bet this week.
Okay. Well, we could take that. Given we've had a couple of winners unusually in the last minute, maybe we're just adding to the pot at this stage, hopefully. So maybe we got that. Unless there's a consensus in the room to add in a Liverpool win. Unless there's a consensus in the room.
Well, I have a Liverpool win.
I think Liverpool are going to win as well, because I just don't think that Arsenal are... Liverpool have already had their hangover week. Arsenal are going to have theirs this week. Their form in the league is shocking.
Do you think Mikel Arteta will rip your hand off now if Liverpool win, but they're the better side, Arsenal?
And Alisson makes loads of saves. Yeah.
Dave, what if we threw in a Liverpool win? What would we... Sorry to put you on the spot.
I think it's worth it. 4-1.
Okay.
4-1. I've just built it very quickly.
That is quick.
And it is a Bet Builder winnings boost game with William Hill as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's a Bet Builder winnings boost game with William Hill as well. And that does come to 4-1, but more than happy to throw in the winnings boost as well when that comes live, which will give you a 25% boost on your Bet Builder too. So more than happy to do that, which would be a 5-1 shot for Liverpool to win, both teams to score, and Mo Salah to score, which I think you want to go with that at 5-1 rather than the 17-10 for both teams to score and Salah to score in the game.
Yeah, look, I'll let you off, lads, because I just realised, Dave, I checked what I went for and I was, oh yeah. Do you know what I went for? Do you know? Liverpool 0, Arsenal 0.
Well, there you go.
It doesn't really matter what we change then. If you're right, we're doomed either way. Yeah. Dave, is there much... I presume the more vigorous market this week is probably the Newcastle, Chelsea, Villa Bournemouth, all these games that have the European qualifications on the line.
Yeah, that Newcastle-Chelsea game is a really interesting one, isn't it? Because it's the archetypal six-pointer as far as the Champions League spots are concerned. Newcastle are 11-10 to win the game. The draw 11-4. Chelsea in the betting at 21-10. I don't know what you think about this game from a pure outcome perspective, but Chelsea's only league win away from home this calendar year came against Fulham. I think Newcastle will win this game, and I think Alexander Isak will be key. He was on the score sheet in the Carabao Cup clash between the two, also scored at Stamford Bridge in the league fixture earlier in the campaign. In fact, he scored in each of the four games he's played against Chelsea for Newcastle. I think he'll score in the game, and I think Newcastle will win the game personally. I think they're the better side, and I think they're so strong at home, Newcastle. And Chelsea away from home don't have anything like the form they do at Stamford Bridge. So personally, I'd be with Newcastle to win the game 11-10, and I fancy Newcastle to win the game. And Alexander Isak, he's 19-20, a shade of odds on to score in the game. But that's the way I'd be looking at here. I just don't trust Chelsea.
No, I think that's a fair point. Yeah, we'll go through that game in a few minutes. Is there anything else, Dave, from this weekend that you're eager to point out?
Yeah, just on that game, Epic Boost will be available this weekend on that match as well. It will be Cole Palmer to have a shot on target, which has been enhanced from 2-7 to even money here with William Hill. And I do think Newcastle will win the game, but Isak should have a shot on target in the match, and I think even money is absolutely outstanding. 48 shots on target in 34 Premier League games this season, averaging roughly a shot on target every hour. 10 shots on target in his last 8 league games, and obviously returned to a bit of form against Liverpool last weekend with the goal. So a trip to St James's Park shouldn't hold any fears for Cole Palmer. So yeah, we'll go even money, part of the Epic Boost with William Hill, for Palmer to have a shot on target, and that will be available online and on the app to a tenner. So do get involved with that, because I think he'll have that shot on target.
Lovely stuff, Dave. Thanks so much. We'll chat to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Speak soon.
Great stuff, Dave Kellner there from William Hill. And who you got is in association with William Hill. Remember, you must be over 18 and visit gamblingcare.ie for more info.
First tweet says, dudes can literally just sit around and name old sports players and just have the best time.
Bring on Timmy Cahill.
Timmy!
What a player he was, by the way. Loved the header. Oh, my God, that guy was good in the air.
And the Ibrahim Diaz, what a player he was, by the way. Foden.
Ider Elgerson. Oh, yeah. What a player he was, by the way.
But like Marco Branco came, he was unbelievable. But what a player he was.
It is the same Rui Costa, Broads. It is. Absolute icon, AC Milan icon, man. What a player he was, by the way.
Auntie Nemi.
Aye.
He was finished.
Not finished. He's only 28.
No, not finished. He's from Finland.
And what a player he was, by the way, obviously. But he was finished.
He's Scottish?
No.
Oh, I thought he was Scottish.
David Suka, what a player he was, by the way.
David, Davil Suka.
Oh.
There's another little debate to be had here because a friend of the show, Joe Cole, what a player he was, by the way.
N'Golo Kante, what a player he was, by the way.
Puskas Arena, what a player he was, by the way.
Whelan caught it on the volley.
What a player he was. But he does shin that one a bit.
How dare you? How dare you?
Then we signed Stan Collymore, and what a player he was, but he was just a loophead. Great lad.
Kanu. Someone's mentioned Kanu. I don't think I can do Kanu, but what a player he was, though, wasn't he?
Diaz alongside him, though. What a player he was, Al. What some great blocks.
Zola would be a great player if he could still. What a player he was. You know, Mark Noble would be good. Jack Wilshere.
Wilshere when he was at Arsenal. Cazorla. What a player he was, Al.
To Matt Lawrence, what a player he was alongside Jockey Hansen.
Well, what a player he was. No, what a player he was. He could play.
You know, John Monker, what a player he was, by the way.
Then you go a little bit further on. Gerrard, what a player he was.
Dean Ashton, what a player he was, by the way.
If that's the best you can do, then the answer is definitely no.
Jansen, Tilio Lombardo.
Cue music.
Not the Lombardo. Lombardo.
What a player he was, by the way, Lombardo.
Magnificent. What a player he was.
Yeah. That's who I really thought was unbelievably good. I played against him. Lufa Mateus. What a player he was, by the way.
Rule Fox. What a player he was, by the way. He was a top player.
Let's get up the scores, what we've selected in the Arsenal-Liverpool game. I think we have a couple of A-balls here. Kathleen didn't get in on time. I know Phil has sent in his, so...
As of 6 a.m. this morning,
yeah,
Phil
I think he went for one all in nearly all the games, so we'll probably let him in. But...
he actually went...
Owen's gone for a big Liverpool win here. Colm, you've gone for the nil-all draw, as you already mentioned. Jer's gone for the draw, and Nathan has gone for a draw. The rest of us have all gone for Liverpool. Will's looking at a cracker, 3-2. I've gone for... I can't find myself there.
You're the middle 3-0.
Yeah, which I couldn't remember, but it kind of does... It does go with what we've been kind of talking about. I just have a feeling it wouldn't win our charity bet, unfortunately, because both teams wouldn't score. But I do kind of just get the sense that Arsenal's league form in the last few weeks, when they've been focusing on this Champions League game, has been fairly terrible. Mm. But they're still trying to keep themselves at a level and they're trying to keep their form up and so on, and they haven't been able to do it, and now that they've nothing to focus on, I think they'll get the 2-3 points they need absolutely over the next two games, but I think this week this is a week off.
It's a good point, actually, because the obvious lack of motivation or absence of it for Liverpool is there because they've won the league, but there's a feel good factor about that.
That's so in theory
you could play free flowing football,
especially against a team who might not show up against you.
And then you have Arsenal, who's, you know, hearts were broken during the week, and their manager is saying that they should have won the game, and they probably feel, because they're in second, it's not like they're in fourth or fifth, that we probably do have the Champions League anyway, so what's the difference between second, third and fourth, even though there is financial differences, but what's the actual difference? So who has more motivation going into Anfield is actually a more interesting question than it seems obvious.
It is Liverpool. There is that feel good factor 100% for
Champions. And Trent showing up for the first time.
Yeah, for the first time and one of the last times. And then there's the whole, you know, clapping onto the pitch that Arsenal will have to do again at Anfield for Liverpool. Some
I
of those
never
players
care about
it.
The Guard of Honour thing.
No.
And the whole argument about it was like, just do it, just get it done. You don't even, just tune out, like. Just you stand there clapping, you can think about something else. Think about the game. Think about what you're going to do on the pitch.
These lads are mates these days. It's not like the Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira days.
If it was,
do you know what I mean? All these guys are trying to buddy up to each other most of the time. I don't think they care about it, really.
No. You
don't like it, do you?
The clapping out of the pitch?
Yeah, the Guard of Honour.
No, not really. Like... they're supposed to have a little bit of rivalry between these clubs, and do you know, I would like to see a team stand there and not clap at all, just kind of protest.
Do you not think that you're supposed to have competition in a sporting manner in some ways? And I don't mean this to sound cheesy or anything like that, but they're in this competition that like is a like the longest slog, the hardest thing to win probably in the game, 38 games, etc., etc. You're in the competition. They beat you for it. You say, well done.
I don't
almost
know.
Especially when you're the second place team, I think.
Possibly. Yeah, maybe when you've been the second place team, I can understand that logic. And yet, like fans of like if you're a fan of a title winning team, you don't care about the opposition clapping you onto the pitch. I don't think it's a factor at all, really. I don't know. Anyway, it's irrelevant to the game. But it just goes to show how little the game really matters.
I am weirdly looking forward to it, though. I mean, my prediction wouldn't suggest that I'm looking forward to
it's
it.
It's all at the same time as the Leinster final, so we'll see.
Yeah, there's a lot clashing. That is a nightmare.
But yeah,
I like that fixture at Anfield, Liverpool-Arsenal. It's always good crack.
And again, it should have been so much bigger.
Yeah, but, I know.
Alas, Arsenal did not.
Do you think we had this discussion on breakfast during the week? Where do you think Arsenal go from here under Arteta? Do you think they're fine, like that they're kind of their handily placed, and it's just a matter of, we've been saying literally all season long, get a forward, get a striker?
It's funny when Shane was talking about his excuses, and we've all kind of picked up on different bits of what he said, and it wasn't always the headline, you know, that we were the best team in the Champions League. It was little other things he said, and one of the things that annoyed me was like, you know, we have loads of chances, but like, you know, teams who score goals generally have strikers. It's like this constant kind of excuse of what we have isn't good enough. I wonder when players eventually kind of get fed up with it. I wonder when players get fed up with the idea that he's always blaming circumstances and injuries and the fact that we have no shot. It's like, you know, well, there was a guy playing up front there.
You can get away with that.
You know what I mean? Like, he was there.
I know. But if you're a good communicator or a likeable communicator, like Ruben Amorim, I would probably put under that bracket, you can get away with that, because he's blamed. He said that this squad isn't good enough. He said the players aren't good enough. He probably doesn't like some of them. And yet, the way he says it, he gets away with it a little bit more, whereas Arteta just comes out so bluntly.
Well, that's true, but Amorim's more likeable to us than Arteta, but Arteta's getting more results.
Arteta's getting more results than Amorim. Arteta, for example, as a neutral.
Yeah, he doesn't bother me at the moment, I suppose. Let's wait and see whether he's a bit more successful.
Actually, it means United are irrelevant.
By the way, like, you know, so much of the Arteta thing is just football fandom stuff, like, and he's doing quite well, but most of it isn't. Most of it is just looking from afar going, this isn't the attitude you should have.
Sorry,
you know?
Doing quite, like, I won't have won a trophy in 5 years next season. Like, doing quite well for Arsenal.
When he took over that club, they were not in good shape. He has improved them, and they are consistent every season. They are, like, they're always there, they're about.
They just can't
get to that next step. But Arsenal haven't been at the bar that they should have been for about 20 years.
Yeah.
So he's been the best in that length of time. He actually has been the best. The reason I asked Mick about that question about where do they go next is like that excuse making or whatever is like, if that does run dry with the players, then it is interesting about what they do next, because it's very, very difficult to justify like sacking him. Why would you sack Arteta? He's been consistent.
No, he's not sackable.
But
I don't
at the same time, is he going to get into that next level? And that's the kind of fascination I have with Arsenal.
Does Isak get them to that next level? Does
Isak go to Arsenal if he's given the opportunity?
Well, that's exactly it. Like, if Newcastle are looking more and more likely to get into the Champions League, Newcastle have no urgency to sell, even though there's all kinds of PSR issues and so on. They'd be mad to be trying to build anything and selling Isak. He's got time in his contract. I just don't see this as, this is everybody's solution.
Mm.
And it's not available. This solution isn't available. Mm. And I don't think Isak would be all that keen to go, like, is it a half a step forward to go to Arsenal? Well,
you see,
where he is at the moment?
They've been linked with Victor Gyökeres from Lisbon, Šeško as well, players who haven't really experience of the Premier League. And Rasmus Højlund is a prime example of, if you're buying a centre forward, you really don't want to take a risk and get someone who doesn't have Premier League experience. Højlund still might come good, and he scored last night, but if you need to win a Premier League title, look at what United did.
No, you don't. You buy someone who's ready.
United, Van Persie, all those years ago.
Manchester United, if he's going there to sit in the bench and learn his trade.
Yeah.
That was the whole reason it's not that he's a bad signing or anything like that. And then it's like, otherwise he goes to another club and steps up to Man United. And that's why that club have lost their way over 10 years. Arsenal, like, it's absolutely what they can't do. Like, they would genuinely be better off going and buying Ollie Watkins than buying a project player. You know, because at least you know what you have, even if he might not be exactly what they need. He'll be better than what they have at the moment. I don't know. I still don't think there's a silver bullet signing for them. And, like, it would be if they got Isak, but again, I just don't think that player is available.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I really don't know, Colm. Like, it's such a good question, because they're clearly good enough, and they've shown in the Champions League run, in fairness to Arteta's nonsense, that they're good enough. But are they, you know, are they, no, that they're nearly good enough. Are they actually good enough, though? I don't know. Are they? Do they have another level? Are any of those players getting better?
Have we already seen their ceiling without realising as the past is
by? But that's it. Like, who's getting better on that squad? Lewis Skelly.
Yeah.
Maybe he moves into midfield, right? Is Odegaard going to get better? I think might have seen the best of Odegaard.
I have to ask myself the question.
I'm not saying he's going to decline. He's 26 or 7, I think.
He's been around for a long time, though.
He's been around for a long time. I think Saka is as good as he's going to be, but that's still very good.
Right? And Rice as well.
He's good enough. And Rice, I don't think, is getting any better. I don't think
he's class.
You know, I don't think Thomas Partey is getting any better. I think there's a lot of their squad players are getting a bit older. I think Saliba's not getting any better. Maybe he will. Maybe he could find a new level because a centre half can develop at an older age. Do you know what I mean? Martinelli?
I don't know what's happened.
People feel like he's gone backwards. So maybe he gets another one of form. I don't know. I think they need to bring in some players, but
yeah,
it's all fascinating.
Who are you attracting to Arsenal? What category
Calafori
of player?
And all these guys might improve.
They've randomly an excellent collection of fullbacks. Yeah. They've like amazing depth at fullback. Yeah. Not really centre half. Oh, Kvyat did all right in the last few rounds of the Champions League. Midfield, they need depth, and then up front, it's just Saka or nobody. Like, what's happened with Raheem Sterling?
Yeah.
Well, like, is that just a case of too much football too young?
No. Yeah. Probably it is. But like, at some point, you become a different player than you used to be, and people have to stop thinking about it as a form thing and think about it as the fact that the player who was playing at Manchester City no longer exists.
Yeah, I know, it's a backhand compliment, really. You know, we yearn for him.
Yeah, exactly. We've spent way too long on this game. We said it was irrelevant right at the start. We've done nearly a half an hour. Let's get on to Newcastle and Chelsea, which is genuinely the biggest game of the weekend.
Actually, yes.
Again, we have missing picks. I've been told, by the way, there's no point in telling you Phil's picks because they're irrelevant. The commissioner of the Who You Got League is taking a hard line.
Jeez.
SKG, this is not Brona. Taking a hard line and giving him 0 points, and it's already been communicated to him. So Kathleen and Phil are getting 0 this week. The picks that did come in, Colm's gone for a Chelsea win, which is interesting. I'm looking forward to this. John has also gone for a Chelsea win. He's normally on his own in these ones. Owen has gone for Newcastle. Jer has gone for Newcastle. I've gone for Newcastle 2-1. Nathan has gone for a 2-2 draw. Shane, you've also gone for a draw. So we've got three different results here. And Will has picked Newcastle to win 2-1, which is the same score I've gone for. I'd be interested in your Chelsea pick, Colm.
They're in slightly better form than Newcastle. So just take the last six games in the form table of the Premier League. I was looking at it this morning. Chelsea are fourth. Newcastle are actually fifth. So they're just ahead of them. There's very little between us. So I don't think there's going to be a 2-0 hammering. I think this will be a goal early by Chelsea and then a goal late by Chelsea. That's the way I envision it, is that I think for some reason, I actually really did mull this over, despite the scoreline, the prediction sounding quite obvious that I think it was definitely going to be Chelsea, was that the slight resurgence of Cole Palmer and Chelsea are coming back into form a bit. They kind of gone throughout the season. Newcastle, the last time they played at Stamford Bridge and Chelsea won, Newcastle were in dire form, and actually Eddie Howe was in trouble for his job, and then they went on a run of like 20 wins in 27 games and I feel like they've peaked now, and Chelsea are just going back into it at the end with the Europa Conference League final, a big fillip in their motivation. So that's why I've gone for them.
Yeah, Chelsea's form I think is quite false, I have to say. Liverpool didn't play against them last week, you know, as we kind of thought might happen. They got very lucky with that fixture, just the timing of it. That's fine, fair play to them. They went out and won it. They were losing to Fulham at Craven Cottage for most of the game. Got two late goals, including, I think, a 97th minute winner, which was huge for them. Again, they're getting the results they need, and like that does go to your point, but it doesn't tell me great things about their form. They've had Leicester and Ipswich. They drew with Ipswich, I think, not too long ago. They've had Leicester, they've had Southampton in this run. You know what I mean? They've just had a kind fixtures list, and now they've got a tough one. And that should have started with Liverpool, and it didn't, but now they've got Newcastle away, they've got, and then I'm not sure who they have next week, but then they Forest away on the last
Day. Chelsea.
Yeah.
They have Manchester United at Stamford Bridge the Friday before the Europa League final.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Outside of the bottom three, that is famous. So handy.
That's 5 or 6-0 Chelsea, by the way.
That's become quite a famous fixture.
And their last game of the season, City Ground.
But when is the Conference League final?
It's after the Europa League final, isn't it?
Yeah, but Chelsea have something to play for anyway. So
it's 3 days after the last day of the season.
Yeah, 28th of May.
Look, again, it's not to suggest. I think the win at Anfield or the win at Stamford Bridge against Liverpool would put them as favourites. I think I said on the show last week that I didn't think they were going to make the Champions League. I think they're now in a position where they should. But I still don't think it's a guarantee. This is a really tough fixture. I think Newcastle might be a better team than Chelsea.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't like this Chelsea team. They've come together. They've got moderately better this year. Yeah. And they'll probably get moderately better again next year.
I'd be happier.
Newcastle are very good.
100%. And if you're a Newcastle fan, you probably are more optimistic about the next 2-3 years. Even though Chelsea have such a young team, you'd still be more optimistic being a Newcastle fan, you'd imagine, about the future. Newcastle obviously have guaranteed Conference League for next year. They want Champions League for next year.
They win this weekend, though, they're in.
Yeah.
And that's a huge one.
100%.
I don't know if they're...
Epic boost.
I don't think they're mathematically in,
yeah.
But there's no way they don't get in if they win this game.
100%. And I like your point you made about the form. It is hard to read in Chelsea's form because anything that's relegated, between relegation and mid-table, Liverpool, there's so many fixtures that teams are playing against opposition that just their head's on the beach. I'm not saying Liverpool, for example, are on the beach, but I think Arsenal will be on the beach from this weekend. This type of fixture are the only fixtures we're living for now. Like Newcastle-Chelsea is a massive game in the context when you look at the table. Chelsea have gone through a tough couple of years with their owners. I really like Enzo Maresca. I think he's a brilliant manager. He speaks really well, even during the week. There was a journalist, that I don't know if you saw, a journalist who covers Chelsea had passed away during the week, and he halted the press conference at the start to pay a tribute to him and mention his family and stuff. Just little things like that. Seems obvious, seems a very human thing to do, but not everyone would do it.
Yeah.
A young team with a likeable manager, so you could have optimism there, but I would certainly prefer to be a Newcastle fan heading into the next couple of years. I've gone for a draw, by the way, in this one. I find it a hard game to call, to be honest.
In Newcastle's form, there was a sense that they hadn't changed their team in a number of weeks before they went to Villa Park and got hammered. Now, those two teams have a weird relationship. They never have a close game. It's almost one team hammers the other, so the fixtures can take on that life of their own. But Newcastle looked tired that day because they'd played the same team, I think, 6-7 games in a row or something like that. Now, again, they won their next game. I didn't think they were great at Brighton, but again, that's not a ground that they've got a great history. And they did keep going. They don't look like they're dead in their feet. They finished that game better. When it was 1-0. Once it went 1-1, Brighton were the team that should have scored. But I don't know. There is a chance that Newcastle are shattered.
Mm.
So that I think is one thing. I think for your thing, Chelsea do look like they're fine. They've had Newcastle have had no European football, but they've played with a small squad this season. Chelsea have played European football, but they've played with two squads this season. So I think they could be fresh and they could be primed for a run here. Mm. So that is what worries me about my pick. And worries me about the fact that I need Chelsea to pick up no points from a selfish fan point of view.
I wonder Maresca saying to the lads, this is going to be your toughest game until the Conference League final against Real Betis. Because you are hosted... do I have the right teams here in my head? They're hosting Manchester United, Stamford Bridge.
Yeah,
yeah. Now they've got the Forest away.
The last day of the season. But even then, I would say... Forest away is tough, but they Forest.
Chris Wood derby.
Bit unconvinced about them, maybe. Forest, that they're slipping down.
Yeah,
I was saying I was going to be shocked if they reached the Champions League, and then they were about to make mugs of me by winning the next two or three games, but then they've finally gone down. It's still been an unbelievable season. I was actually asked last Friday who my manager of the year would be, and I instinctively blurted out Nuno Espirito Santo, because for many people, Forest were relegation contenders at the start of the season. Look what he's done. The answer is probably Arne Slot, considering how convincingly he's done everything. But there's something about Chelsea. They're a strange side in that I'd say we haven't talked about Chelsea an awful lot.
No.
Certainly on the breakfast show throughout the year. And I'm like, why is that? I was like, do people have no interest in Chelsea, or what is their kind of antipathy towards them? It was like, they don't have a shirt sponsor. Their jersey looks like a training jersey. They have one kind of likable player up front. The rest of them are like, yeah, they're grands. Mm. And then their manager's grands. Is that why?
Don't really feel like
a team.
This is the team yet, don't we? Not like they may. If
they're experimenting.
You almost want them to do very little this summer, and come back as the same Chelsea team, and then maybe we can get to know them or something.
It was like Noni Madueke this time last year was about to become a central character for Chelsea, and then went peripheral again.
Yeah,
and it was like that's happening a lot. So, no wonder Cole Bamer was a bit so defensive after the Liverpool game. when he came out, and he was, what was he like talking about people online, that they're all a bunch of idiots, like Ferguson to the journalist, but Juan Varane back in the
bizarre,
day.
Yeah.
He was all a bunch of idiots. And he was like that.
The Forest Chelsea game on the last day of the season, we'll see if Forest have collapsed or not.
Yeah.
Because if they haven't, they will beat Leicester, East Midlands Derby or not, on Sunday. And then they have to go to West Ham, like, the week after, which again, if you're pushing for Europe and West Ham have nothing to play for, you think they'd do enough. If Forest haven't collapsed, they'll get 6 points in their next two games. And they will be going, like, I can't see a way, by the way, where someone outside, be it Forest or Villa, don't pick up enough points to keep the pressure on Chelsea. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's actually going to be fascinating. It'll be a lot clearer, I think, after this weekend what's going to happen. But that Forest-Chelsea game could be huge.
There's a world where every team from third to sixth this weekend finished the weekend level on points, on 64 points. That's how crazily tight it is. So Man City are third with 64
points. With Arsenal
points.
On 67 above them as yes, well, and not and, fully, you know.
And Forest are, so Man City are third with 64 points. Nottingham Forest are sixth with 61 points.
Mm.
And in between those two, Newcastle, Chelsea, level on points, 63. Yeah. So there is a world.
Well, not to get all spacey about it, but we actually live in an infinite and constantly expanding universe. So there's actually a universe out there where every single eventuality in the Premier League table that you can think of has happened. So there's a universe out there where Spurs have just won the league. Do you know? That's how space and time works, lads. So there's a universe where there's a who you got, where Cullum is sitting,
does he
and that's
think
it.
The multiverse is real, or what's he talking about?
We're just getting into the space.
You know, when you start,
you're saying it's possible, not that it has actually happened.
Well, Professor Brian Cox will lead you to believe that there are infinite universes.
He was a good actor in Succession, but I don't know if he knows anything about this.
I hope.
Right, let's get on to 8th versus 7th.
Mm.
Bournemouth versus Villa.
Which is more interesting than that sounds.
It's way
seventh.
More interesting than it sounds, because it's actually, in some ways, it's a, you know, we're talking about how the fixtures drop.
Yeah.
This eighth place race between four clubs that might, chances are, possibly get a European place next year has become really interesting now, because it brings all these clubs, keeps all them relevant, which is ultimately a good thing for the league, if not a good necessarily thing for Aston Villa this week. Bournemouth, very, very difficult place to go. Villa haven't had much luck there. Let's see how the scores are. Lots of Villa picks, lots of draws. Colm's gone for Villa.
Yeah.
I've gone for Villa, just backing them up. I'm a bit worried about that one though. And Shane has gone for Villa. Talk about fixture clashes. This is on the same time as I will be in Ennis for
Clare
on Saturday.
This is a
Saturday,
life score day for you.
Annoying.
Shane O'Donnell back.
Massive game that I want to pay attention to, but unfortunately you can only care about one thing at a time.
O'Donnell will be coming on number 25 and your phone will be that very distinctive live score notification noise in your phone. It's like something's happening this game.
The last time we played at... or maybe it wasn't the last time, but certainly possibly the last time they played away at Bournemouth, I was in Disneyland in Paris getting live score updates as well.
You haven't been able to watch this game in years.
So yeah, exactly.
You have no idea what this game looks like.
It's been a long time.
Ennis is like your Disneyland, essentially. That's where there's nowhere you'd rather be in the world. Yeah.
Wasn't this the first game of a season in a couple of seasons ago? And was it
a long time ago?
Coutinho was playing.
Bournemouth beat Villa on their return to the Premier League. The first game of the season. That was their first Villa Park game.
Oh yeah.
So it was the second game of the season. Bournemouth beat Villa. Then they played, I think, the year Villa got relegated. Villa beat Bournemouth in the first day of the season. Go, this team might have something about them. And then they got like 17 points the whole season. And 14 more over the course of the year. So there's a bit of history between these two teams.
I went for Villa. And this is interesting, right, that Villa have actually been in really good Premier League form lately, and Bournemouth have been quite poor at home, funnily enough. And yet, I feel that Villa are a bit jaded, and Bournemouth have slightly more energy. But I've still gone for Villa on the record alone. So I've gone against the Newcastle Chelsea logic that I picked. So this is more on form itself. This is actually more objective. So Bournemouth, last time out at home, they drew to Man United, which was a poor result for them because they conceded a goal in the last minute. And then the last home game there, they beat Fulham. But before that, they lost at home to Ipswich.
Mm.
They lost at home to Man City in the Cup. They lost at home to Brentford in the league. And they lost at home to Wolves in the league. So they haven't been great at home. Whereas Villa on the other side, you look at the last few games, they've been decent. Marcus Rashford could be done. could be done forever for Villa, depending on what they do in the summertime there. So this is back to the Ollie Watkins show.
Tielemans is out as well now, which is like a much bigger loss than Rashford, and hasn't missed a game all season. He's been Villa's player of the year by a country mile. And he's also like him and Rodgers and Konsa are the only constants. Now, Tielemans is the only actual constant, but in terms of like squad rotation and everything like that, and there's a reason for that. It's because he's actually scored the goal against Fulham last week that won him the game, but so much more. He's involved in everything they do. So it'll be interesting to see a Villa team without him this week. But as you say, no Rashford either, and Watkins is not in form. So, there's lots of things working against them. My pick here for Villa is actually just that it's three cup finals. If they get the 9 points from the, if they got the 12 points from the four games, they've already got the three from the first game. I think they'll squeak it. I think between the other teams playing each other, I think the 69 points will just be enough. Maybe at Arsenal's expense, who knows? I think the 69 will get them top five. So three cup finals, they have a week to prepare for all of them, except they don't actually, because they've only got the, I won't get into the Spurs thing again, but anyway, the week to prepare for all of them, which is always something that Emery has a huge, like really really good record if he's not playing after on a short rest. So I think they'll just be so focused for this game and so locked into it. I don't think they're as jaded as they probably looked at Wembley. I just think Palace are an awful matchup. They didn't show up on the day. But other than that, Villa haven't actually played tired in the last few months. They really haven't.
Well, maybe that's by perception of them.
Because
they were so busy.
They were earlier in the year before the kind of international break.
Yeah.
They were out on their feet. But they've kind of, it's just, they've used the big squad well. They've used a lot of, he's mixed.
They have.
Emery's entire, Villa had nothing left at this time last year. They squeaked into top four, hanging on, got that draw against Liverpool, thanks to like a John Duran masterclass. But Villa didn't do anything in the last month of the season, and Emery made it his business that that wouldn't happen this year. So let's see. If he's done a good job, they'll win these three games.
It was interesting how much business he did in January. And I remember thinking at the time, I was like, geez, do they need to do all this? And I remember being like, on their behalf, worried that John Duran was leaving. I remember Dan Bardella on with us being like, good riddance. He's let him go. I let him do what he wants. It's hard to believe that was the same season that Duran was still playing with a score against Bayern Munich at Villa Park.
He was the best player of all time.
And I think that's the perception in my head is like that they're a tired team because they've been so busy. They've been so involved. Like, I've lost track the amount of times I've watched Aston Villa in various competitions this season. And Morgan Rodgers playing all the time.
Now, Rodgers has looked tired. And Rodgers was, I thought, absolutely, like, really poor at Wembley in a, like, shouldn't have been playing kind of way. And actually, the three players that didn't turn up that day were Konsa, Tielemans, and Rodgers in a way that you can't afford those players not to do. Now, Rodgers was better last week, so maybe he's, maybe he had a week off, give a few rest days, I don't know.
Look, I still have him to win, I just have him to win looking tired. I'm surprised, I thought, this is really more of an aside, but I thought Ross Barkley would have so much more of an input when Aston Villa signed him last summer from Luton than he actually
has. Like a great signing.
I thought he was a really good squad player.
He was playing a lot. He was coming off the bench in almost every game, and he was starting the odd one, and he was doing okay. He was definitely an option. He could play this weekend with Tielemans out. I don't think he will start, but I think we'll see him. He got an injury at the wrong time, and Ross Barkley's whole career is injuries that are niggles that should be a month turn into 3 months.
Yeah.
And then he's out of form, he's out of the team, he's out of fitness. And he came on against Fulham and couldn't hold the ball.
Really?
Yeah, it was really poor. But at the same time, that could have just been circumstances. I think we'll see half an hour of them on Saturday.
On that battle for eighth, so you have Bournemouth obviously in eighth at the moment, Brentford, Brighton, Fulham all within a shout. I have a feeling, just a sneaky feeling, Anthony could still have a big say in that one. He's going to come back to bite one of the Premier League teams, score a late winner against Chelsea in a Conference League final.
Anthony's going to come back to bite Brentford,
rip that
Thomas Frank.
It'll be just after the Premier League season has ended. So if someone finishes at eighth, thinks they have European football, then Anthony scores a late winner and rips it from their clutches. So we'll see. But strange
and also Palace could win the cup, which would change a lot, wouldn't it as well? Like if Palace win the cup final, which
eighth place is gone.
I think they have a better chance than the last time they were in it.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. So how about Bournemouth this season, lads, though?
Under
Andoni Iraola.
They have so many exciting players.
Dean Howson, they do well to keep him. They only signed him last summer.
And yet they could finish 11th.
Semenyo,
Kluivert. Who else do they have up front again? Who am I missing there? The obvious one. They have the two boys and Did they rotate with Tara?
Ed Nielsen.
Evan Nielsen.
I always think of this guy as playing in the 2002 World Cup.
Evan Nielsen. Whose red card against Manchester United was correctly rescinded, so he's available to play.
He scored an equaliser at Villa Park in the 97th minute of that, and earlier on the season
They've done an unbelievable job. I'm always guilty of thinking that Bournemouth will struggle at the start of most seasons.
Yeah.
And like Iriola is another contender for manager. He won't get it, but he should be a contender.
It's a really well put together squad. Okay, that's the Premier League and the top whatever it is now, top five battle, etc. Where WSL is winding up to. Let's say we have a fixture from that, which is Arsenal at home to Manchester United, not Aston Villa as it says on the graphic there. This is interesting. Manchester United are playing in the FA Cup final next week. Arsenal are obviously awaiting the Champions League final. Yeah. They've had a long wait for the Champions League final. Their league form has collapsed, much like their men's counterpart, as they wait for a massive Champions League tie. They were hammered last week. They've been hammered in the last two games, which is...
Nine goals conceded.
I don't think they were hammered in the end. I think they came back, but it was consolation goals. But they've conceded, what, 4 and 5 in the last two games?
Yeah.
Which worries me and made me go for Manchester United here, who had their point that they needed that we talked about on last week's show, a 2-2 draw. We said they wouldn't concede 2 goals, and yeah, 2-2, 3 points for me. The reason I'm winning, who you got?
Owen said it last week as well. I think Owen went for 2-2 in the game.
And Kathleen did, yeah.
And Owen
said
live on who you got last week, I regret going for 2-2 now, and he ended up being exactly correct. So stick with your gut. And it's why I've gone for 2-2 this week. So just trying to make it happen.
Should the points be taken away if you regret live on air going for it?
Possibly,
like, you can't back yourself. You shouldn't accidentally get this. It's like Spurs, Man United accidentally getting Champions League football because of a Europa League run.
Can I just see the scores there again, please? Yeah, so Colm has gone for an Arsenal win, as his own Kathleen didn't pick that. She's always a good guidance on the WSL games. We don't know if we're stupid or not. Nathan has gone for Arsenal. Will has gone for Arsenal. I've gone for United, and Shane's gone for a draw. So Shane, we and you are the only ones that are thinking. Now it is on in the Emirates, and you know, you would worry that Arsenal have been kind of kicked into gear. It's like, we're not going to go and beat Barcelona if we keep conceding 10 goals every game.
That was my rationale, the bounce back ability.
So that is my concern. But at the same time, this wouldn't have been an easy fixture for Arsenal anyway. United have been very, very good this season. They've been hard to break down, hard to beat. And I wonder if Arsenal aren't going to turn it on in time.
And United doing the job against City last, getting enough to make sure that City had no more interest
playing for a place in the cup final.
Yeah, possibly. It's just one of those games, because both teams maybe have their sights set on different things. United have their sights set on other things.
We're starting and finishing with the same thing this week, aren't we? It's like a game that should be huge isn't, unfortunately. Yeah.
And Mark Skinner's comments, I was just reading his comments.
Arsenal are ruining football.
Basically, both teams are ruining.
Do you think if Sky went for that in their promo so much to the extent that people who watch it?
There should be something on the line. There isn't. Tune in.
Neither team cares.
Much like who you got last 3 weeks of the season. There should be more on the line.
Yeah, true. Right,
not done yet, Michael.
Let's have a quick look at the table before we finish.
I just want to run through it again quickly.
I won't even mention what's happened at the top. We never talked about what was happening on the table, which is Phil getting 0 points this week is a disaster because he's enjoyed second at the moment.
This
seems like a fix or something at this stage. But John has picks in as usual, some wacky ones always doing well, you see. So they're not that wacky. But I just wanted to just steer your attention towards the bottom of the table. Colm on 69 points. Gerrard is now 4 points clear after he woke up and stopped picking silly scores and got 6 points this week. That's not easy to overcome over the course of 3 weeks.
No, it's very worrying.
Will's picks are actually Emma.
Sorry, yeah.
Will's was off sick this week, so Emma's made that pick.
Notably informed by Brona there. It's scary, right, what Gerrard did last week when you're thinking from my perspective. I'm really having a Leicester City 2016-17 season over here.
Shocking.
Like, I won my title, I went mental. but they went to the Champions League quarterfinal. Yeah. I didn't.
We didn't have a Champions League version of who you got. We'll be back next week. I'll try to make an appearance to do another lap of honour. If I'm not here, you'll have to grace me in my absence.
Do we have a cardboard cutout of you? Remember you and Stephen Gerrard cardboard
cutout? Actually, yeah.
We should get you here. And it was like, God, Mike is very quiet this week. Just have you here. It's there.
Yeah.
If someone could do that for us, that'd be great. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.